there's something. This is the third part of a very famous. This is one of Phil's favourite films. I don't know, have you read the book, Phil?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course he has. Just checking.
It was the only book I read under the covers when I was a teenager before I was a Christian.
Okay. Brilliant.
I love the film as well.
Yeah. Anyway, so. The nature of these, he's going on sabbatical tomorrow, so I've got to get, he can't have a right to reply next week. So there's something really quite a bit sad, isn't there? When you get to the last pages and you kind of get to the end of the story and you've been so kind of involved, so part of the plot and the twists and the characters and the drama and the suspense, and you kind of think, how's it going to finish? How's it going to finish? And you kind of like get to the final sentences of a book. Maybe you've read them a few times and you kind of like, ah. And then you feel a little bit sad, don't you? Like your friend that you've spent a long time journeying with has finished. The end of the story, not always in the way that you want them to finish. I won't read the last part in case you haven't come across the ending of Lord of the Rings yet, of the Return of the King, but it involves some hobbits. Living in the Shire. It is like Gloucestershire, anyway. I have read it, Phil. Less heckling. Anyway, so there's something about the story that you may or may not been aware of, that Easter, the last big event that was part of Easter was Good Friday, and you may have seen it. It was on some bits of the news, and you remember that it's the story of Jesus going to the cross. It's been mentioned already, Charlie's testimony and others, about the importance of the cross. But that's not the end of the story. There's more to come. But here's the quiz, just to see how literally able we all are. Again, there's no prizes, unlike the curry quiz we're doing, but there's a kind of range of things. So there's a quote coming on the screen. There we are. If you can call out the title of the book and extra points, extra credit, if you can name the author. The creatures outside looked from pig to man and from man to pig and from pig to man again, but already it was impossible to say which was which. Animal Farm. Well done, George Orwell. It's a bit of a bleak story. It's a bleak story about kind of what happens when people kind of lose structure, lose the things that bind people together, lose love. It's quite a statement about humanity left to run. The scriptures, the story of Jesus, doesn't sugarcoat or gloss over the reality of how messed up things can be. Of how much pain and disappointment and brokenness and mistakes we can all make and end up thinking we're just like everyone else, there is no hope. We're just looking from one to one and it's all a tragedy. And Good Friday can seem like that. Looks like victory wins and evil prevails and the good gets slaughtered and the cruel and the powerful just seem to run riot. But that is not the end. So maybe you can guess this one. It's a little bit easier for probably, hopefully, all of us. The scar had not pained Harry for 19 years. All was well. Older people, quiet. Anyone know which author and book this is from? Thank you, Arnie, young at heart. J.K. Rowling's, and it's actually the Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows at the end of the saga. You knew that, didn't you? Fantastic. The end of the story. And if you've read the seven books, it's seven or eight, I can never remember. It's a lot of them, a lot of words. It's kind of like, oh. But I'm told there is a new film coming out soon, of a bit later. There's always a little bit more. How about this one? Back to my GCSE time. It was a far, far better thing I do than I have ever done. It's a far, far better rest that I go to than I have ever known. Sorry? Tale of Two Cities by Charles Dickens. I won't spoil the plot, but it's a wonderful last line of someone who takes the place of someone who was kind of in trouble and was facing the death penalty, and this person substituted themselves, enabled themselves to take the place of the person who was going to die in order that other person could live. And he gave his life such that the hero well, actually not the hero, the one who had been trapped by forces beyond his control, could go free. A great last line and a resonance so powerfully of the Easter story. And last one, I've never read this, I've never watched the film, but I'm told this is a famous last line. After all, tomorrow is another day. Gone with the wind. There we go. Anyone know the author? There we go. Well done. Are you a fan? Oh, okay. Just well read. Thanks. That's what Easter is about. That there's another day. There's another day that we're about. It's not the end of Good Friday, of death, of burial. All of us experience that. All of us have seen the consequence of living and failing and becoming frail and accidents and messed up. And we get to gravesides and crematoria and church services and that great full stop, the great final. But there's more. Because it's Easter Sunday. Because he has risen. Because death has given up Jesus, that the tombstone is rolled away, that the grave clothes have been left folded, that Jesus has emerged conquering death into the glorious light of the first Easter. And let's have a hallelujah to that. And says that no longer is death the end, no longer does it all kind of finish with sadness. He is risen. There's more to the story. The chapters haven't finished. The book isn't closed. And we get these final words in Matthew's gospel. We're back on the screen. I know there's a little bit of flickering going on. Are we there? Fantastic. These are the very last words of the gospel of Matthew in the New Testament. Jesus is risen and he's gathered with his friends. And then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." That's not a full stop. That's not a book closed. That's a continued present tense, lived experience, ongoing reality. Five people are going to get wet soon. Tim texted this morning, dunked is the generic term. Baptized is the technical word. It comes from a thing in Greek that means to be, it's like if you took cloth to dye it, you would put it into the blue or the green or the red, and you'd take the kind of the undyed cloth, you'd plunge it and submerge it in, and it would take on everything about the color that it was submerged into. Baptism is about each of these five individuals, and for every believer, it's called believer's baptism, saying, yes, I've chosen now by faith, I'm plunging myself into the things of God, the things of Jesus Christ, this ongoing story. Easter is wonderful, and baptism is because of Easter, because he is alive. He is alive. We sang it in one of the opening songs. The greatest day in history, he is alive. The disciples, as they met just before Jesus ascended, Jesus came to them. A few days before, they'd seen him entombed. They'd seen his lifeless body. They had seen his blood had been poured out. He had a spear shoved in his side. He did not breathe and was encased for 3 days, and he broke free. Jesus came to them. He's alive. Do you know him? Each of these five people being baptized are saying in their own way they have met the risen, alive, present Jesus. We haven't persuaded them. We haven't twisted their arm. We haven't given them some money to do this on, you know, just to make it look good at Easter. Far from it. In their own story, in their own words, they have encountered the risen Jesus. He came to them. To the disciples, and still is. It's an ongoing story. They have a relationship with him. It's not just about their growing up in a church or their parents' faith or their friends have encouraged for them or just because they've come to a church a few times on a few Sundays. No, it's because he is risen and alive and he has come to them. And he's close by each one of us. And he's calling us by name to each one of us, even this morning, because he loves to be known, because he's alive and risen, conquered death for us. Let's get another hallelujah. And then he says to them, and this is so encouraging, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He is Lord. There is no one who is greater, no one who can kind of come on and say, Jesus, let's have a little tussle and see who's top dog now. Let's kind of like take it on. Jesus has conquered death. He's conquered every evil and principality and power. He's defeated sin. He is alive and reigning. All authority in the heavenly realms, in anywhere on earth and even under the earth has been given to him. He is God. He is alive and reigning as Lord. I could have read from the Narnia Chronicles. Again, I've read that, Phil. You'd be glad to know. C.S. Lewis was a Christian. He was someone who wrote lots of really good things, great stories, but some really profound things. And he once wrote this about reflecting on the things of Jesus and the Easter Sunday and the story and the true story of resurrection. He said, if you read history, you will find that the Christians who did the most for the present world were just those who thought most of the next. In other words, they knew Jesus was risen. They knew their life was transformed. The old has gone, the new has come. And this is what baptism signifies. The old has gone, the new has come. A new life that these five people are living and all who've been baptized is true for. To live and serve him under his lordship. That means trusting him, reading the Bible, putting into action the things that he says, the things that we learn, the things that we discover from one another, and especially the scriptures, of living in that direction. And also knowing that all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And these brilliant words he leaves, such confidence they give us. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. That inspires and motivates for these five that go through the water, and as they get up and live the rest of their lives, they don't leave Jesus here on the Easter Sunday, 31st of March, 2024. He is always with us every day, every step of the journey, every breath of life. We live for him because he is Lord and he is with us. Isn't that great? And the last couple of things is that we are doing just what he said. We baptize. This isn't our creation as a Baptist church, but what Jesus has said. Therefore, go and make disciples of every nation, of all nations, of all places and peoples on this planet. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then, this is where the Lordship of Jesus comes in. Teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. We're all journeyers. We're all learning. We're all following him and encouraging each other in this journey. It's fantastic and sometimes tough, but that's what we do. Why? Because he's risen, because he is with us, and he's calling us onwards, and we are never out of his presence. He has conquered death. No fear. No fear. A great writer and commentator on the Bible said this, a guy called George Beasley Murray, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the first article of the Christian faith and the demonstration of all the rest. The first article of the Christian faith and the demonstration of all the rest. We love Christmas, but Easter is better. Because we're all born, but only one has been reborn from the grave, Jesus. The world is different. Everything is changed. Everything is changed. The lives of these five people and of this congregation, and we have hope for this world because he is risen and everything is different. And surely he is with us always to the very end of the age. Hallelujah. Amen. So I'm going to invite Matt to come forward and share.